Everybody, this is Chico Alexander, and I don't know about you guys, but this weekend was a bit depressing. For one, we have floods going on in the Carolinas, and that's just so depressing. Our thoughts are with the people of North and South Carolina coast as they deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Joaquin. We had another
You want to know
tragedy.
what's even more depressing? Joaquin Phoenix's career.
Ah, God, that's horrible.
Well, you know what? If let's put it this way: with Hurricane Joaquin, it was sort of like real life, full of bluster and then irrelevance afterwards.
Yeah, and also speaking of real,
Oh.
and also speaking of real life, we also have a tragedy over in Oregon. To the people of Roseburg, our thoughts and our prayers are with you. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to push the fun button. Who's ready to push the fun button?
I'm ready to
I'm
push
ready
the
to
fun
put.
button again for everybody that is currently dealing with stuff they really should not be dealing with. Hopefully, the least that we can do is give you an hour and change worth of fun, enjoyment, stuff to keep your mind off the stuff that you're currently dealing with.
All
And by
right.
hopefully, we will be able to do that.
All right, Gordon, hit the fun button.
Well, it is because the other thing that I really don't want to deal with right now is my Yankees losing 3-0.
Ah!
So I'm going to flip off the game and let's just spend the next hour to 2 hours of our lives discussing something that does provide a lot of fun, and that's game shows. So
So.
from somewhere in America, and maybe my basement after I throw a foot right through my TV, this episode of We Love to Interrupt is on.
Yes, it's another edition of that show with those guys in the Nut House. With Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. With us, as always, occupying the muscle chair is Mr. Jason Block out of Brooklyn.
Yes, I am here. This is Jason Block from Brooklyn, New York, the strength and conditioning coach of the We Love to Interrupt podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And recording but not contributing. We have to bring this up. Mr. Jim Williams out of Leesburg, New Jersey.
Greetings. Most people say, oh, well, Gordon has said I haven't contributed any time I've been a part of this podcast. So I'm on the bench this week. By the way, nine more outs. Nine more outs.
Oh, you hush! You hush! Get back to the booth there, mister.
This is one of the reasons why Jim Williams will not be participating with us this evening, unless it's to go get us Gatorade or fruit snacks. So knowing us, you'll probably get us the Halloween burger from McDonald's just so we can poop out free.
First of all, it's Burger King. And second of all, ew! Anyway, enough of the banter. Let's get to what you tuned in for. First up, oh my goodness, he's got a slow smile and a set of fingers to die for, ladies and gentlemen. So far, he has raised seven of them in triumphant victory. Over 200,000 for Matt Jackson so far. How about that?
Actually, as of tonight, little spoiler alert, it's eight. He did win. It's eight.
He did win, so it is eight fingers when the show airs tomorrow. But that's again, this is something I said about Jeopardy. You have to be smart, you have to be fast, and you have to be lucky. Matt Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Jackson is the complete package. He is
No, he's
smart.
not.
He is a
No, he's
different
not.
monster, and Chico, I called it.
I'm sorry.
G,
Gordon?
you go first.
I said he's got the package, he's a complete monster, and Chico, once again, I called it.
Gordon.
Excuse me, Gordon. I hate to. I hate to.
It's in our cornflake. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly, because he's not the complete package, and I'll tell you why. Because, and my father and I have observed this in his run, while Matt Jackson is incredibly dominant, in the wins that he has won so far. And by the way, he's an excellent player. I'm not saying that he isn't a fantastic player. He's one of the best players we've seen in a while. The problem is that he bets very badly in Final Jeopardy. He does not realize that when he has the game locked, he's lost, I would say, about, what was it, about $40,000 in bets so far.
Well, here's the thing. When you're in a locked game situation, you're pretty much playing with house money. You can do whatever the hell you want. And so far, the 8 games that he has played, 7 of them, 87.5% of the games that he has played have been runaways. He is, you know, he can bet nothing. He's playing with house money, basically.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you there, Jay, for the exact reason that Chico just brought up. If you're just playing for the heck of it at that point, you know, it's if you win, you win, great. If not, you don't. But the fact of the matter is, for 7 of those 8 games, he's made Final Jeopardy a moot point.
So, yeah, and basically...
You don't really put him in that position. It's sort of irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, and when you have like 8 games under your stash, you're pretty much playing for November at this point. And if I'm not mistaken, we have about 4.5 weeks until the big dance, which a few of our friends are listening. Hi, guys. They'll be participating in. That'll be interesting.
Well, but what makes you think that he may not be able to be in the big dance?
Oh,
because
he's...
you're the current champion. You oh, yeah, that's
right. That's right. I forgot about that. That is a fact. That is correct.
Which is?
If you are the current champion, by the time the Tournament of Champions rolls around, you cannot compete. However, if you lose the last game before the Tournament of Champions, you are in.
Well, at the moment, right now, at the moment, he is 3rd on the trackers right now. Because I'm checking the Jeopardy, the live Jeopardy tracker as of right now at the moment. He's got 7 games. Well, actually now he's going to be number 2 as of tomorrow. He's going to make it. Right now, the people who are in at the moment, do you want to know the people who are in right now
as of yesterday? Go ahead and give us a list as of yesterday. Remember, this does not include today's game, which we will go over.
And of course, this does not guarantee that these people will be invited to play, okay? But they are. Jennifer Giles, the teacher's champion. 7-game winner, Greg Soroka. 7-game winner, Matt Jackson. 6-game winners, Alex Jacob and Kerry Green. 5-game winners, Dan Feidel, Brandon Bushy, Scott Lord, John Schultz, Vaughn Mitchell, Andrew Harringer and Kristen Sawsville, and 4-game winners Catherine Hardy and Elliot Yates, and 3-game winners Michael Below and Darius Harris Fain. At the moment.
And those 3-game winners are really, really hoping that Matt continues through December.
Indeed. Anyway, let's talk about tonight's game, which was one of the runaways that Matt just had. He has 36,800 going into the final. His 2 opponents, they are irrelevant at this point. Let's play Final Jeopardy, shall we? The category, European authors. How much do you know about European authors? Don't answer that question, Gordon.
I'm not peeing anywhere. I'm in my car.
Okay. Don't. All right, the clue. To explain, Harry by the artless division into wolf and man is a hopelessly childish attempt. He wrote in 1927.
Well, I've got this, actually.
Okay, you got it.
Repeat the question, please.
I'll repeat it for you, Gordon. To explain, Harry by the artless division into wolf and man is a hopelessly childish attempt. He wrote in 1927.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, let's start with you, Jason.
It actually is actually one of my father's favorite German authors, Hermann Hesse, in Steppenwolf. In the book, I believe the book was Steppenwolf.
You got the book right.
So it's Hermann Hesse. Who is Hermann Hesse?
Okay, you got the book right. You got the author right. I remember reading Siddhartha in high school. Gordon, you have anything to say to this?
I was thinking Jack Nicholson for his fantastic werewolf trail.
I was actually thinking of the old Fox show Werewolf. You remember the old Fox show Werewolf, right? It only lasted one season, and it aired after Married with Children. Who could forget that?
Apparently, the whole network.
Oh, that's true. Anyway, when Matt returns tomorrow, Wednesday, he will have $230,610, and he will hold up 8 fingers. 8 fingers! Which is more than what can we say about our next set of losers on an island, Shireen Oskoi, who basically played her way out of it. Yes, it's time for...
One of the major rules of Survivor is you must get along with everybody in the sandbox.
Yeah, especially this early in the game. If you try and make a game move this early in the game with these players, you are going to get called on it. And not only did they call her on it, they had the votes to make her answer for it. And they did.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. If you're nasty enough to cause your 2 swing votes to jump right back on the alliance that you're planning on coaching out, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad indeed.
Again, here's the problem. And again, you know, getting my dad involved in this. When you play the game too early, most winners of these social games, the Survivor and the Big Brothers, the social game is done under the radar. If you play too hard early, you always get kicked out. It is the rule. These first 3 to 4 episodes, or, you know, 12 days or so, just do your work, participate in challenges, and be nicey-nice. If you play too hard, you'll get screwed. End of story.
Not only did she play too hard, she was not nicey-nice, and I'll tell you who she was not nicey-nice to. It was Abby Maria. And Abby Maria, you know, if you look at post-game interviews, she, it's like, Shireen and Abby Maria basically are butting heads in post-show interviews, saying that each other were bullies.
Oh, excuse me.
That all she had to do was keep her mouth shut.
All she had to do was keep her mouth shut.
After the whole tribal council thing, from the first episode, where the only reason why they got rid of Vitus was they thought he was playing the game too hard, and they thought he was going to be a threat and he was going to turn on everybody, which in fact that it's almost certainly true on that. All Shireen had to do is keep her mouth shut and let Abby Maria dig a hole to herself, and then she would send herself packing. I still think if they go back to tribal council, she's sending herself packing. But in this case, no. Shireen decided, I'm going to be more annoying than Abby Maria. Here, kick me off first. And they did.
Okay, and interestingly enough, you know, when you are the odd woman out, you will pretty much do anything in order to survive. Abby Maria ends up aligning with Terry, and therefore by courtesy, she ends up aligning with the old-timers. Because there are 2 factions in the Takeo tribe. You have the youngins and the old-timers.
Well, as I said, when you're that annoying enough that you're going to jump from one place to another, you know, here you're asking for trouble. Keep this in mind. Kelly Wentworth, not Wigglesworth, but Wentworth, has got an immunity idol. So I see if they all play together nice, I see the olders at least getting to the merge without a problem. Now, what's going on the other side of Camp Chico?
What's on the other side of camp? Well, Joe solidified his role as the tribe's provider, but his skills made him a target of Steven. And Andrew is, you know, he's meeting his wife, he's going over his wife being pregnant, and he's, and, oh, sorry, that's Jeremy's pregnant wife. I'm sorry. Steven, on the other hand, thought that Jeremy was looking for a hidden immunity idol. Which prompts Andrew and Jeremy to maybe team up with each other to target Steven for constantly thinking about the game. You know, there's a time when you have to think about the game, and then there's a time when you have to think about life in general. This was basically one of those moments when you had to think about life in general before the game.
And the other thing, of course, is the enemy of my enemy is my ally.
Basically. But right now,
Phil's major. Let's put it this way. If they're focusing on that now on the show, that's Phil's major.
And we have a very interesting preview, if you noticed, in the clips for tomorrow night's episode as we record this.
I was just about to say, all of this, all of what we're talking about right now, could be rendered moot as soon as tomorrow. Because they are going to split the tribes into three.
So, well, which I think is the first time they've ever done this, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It is the first time they've ever gone from two to three, yes.
Well, it could be moot, or it could be extremely important if Steven is unfortunate enough to get stuck with Andrew and Jeff.
Jeremy,
I'm sorry. So, that could be a major problem. However, there's a major problem with some racers on The Amazing Race.
Okay,
yes.
I'm gonna throw it over to Mr. Jason Block for that.
Okay, our teams have left Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and flew to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And by the way, in an interesting bit of news synergy, just after Pope Francis left the United States, our teams went to the church where Pope Francis was baptized, which was the Basilica Maria Auxiliadora y San Carlos. Okay. Once at the church, they all caught up. By the way, that was a catch-up move because not necessarily a catch-up move because the teams actually had to pick once they got in order. Once they got there, they picked when to get in, and that what happened was is that they got the morning they got the clue from a priest, which was a detour, which was Cartaneros or Fletero. Okay, Cartaneros means they had to go to the Villa Crespo neighborhood, okay, which was the intersection of Urarte, Fray Justo, Santa Maria, and El Salvador streets, where they had to pick up a cart, collect cardboard from recyclable bins, and get 100 kilograms of cardboard to be recycled. Okay, however, there were 8 carts available at a time. In Flatero, teams traveled to Plaza Dorrego and made their way to Gabriel del Campo antique shop to pick up a statue, bring it to a truck, and one team member would sit in the front, and one team member would sit in the back, being basically the cargo with the truck with the statue, making sure it didn't break. They went to the gazebo at Plaza Intendente Sabir, and then once they arrived at the park, they must reassemble the statue, show it to the park director. Okay. All teams then went to Calle Bartolome Mitre to search for the clue box, and the next clue, which was, who wants to go sideways?
Ooh,
and we're not talking about that awful movie about wine. We're talking about...
Slowly there, sorry.
Okay, but the thing is, we're talking about the dance of Argentina, the tango. One member had to tango both on the ground and on the wall in a sort of a homage to the great Fred Astaire in Royal Wedding, if you know your history. Once they performed the routine correctly, they would have to go to the Cathedral of Polo, which is the Campo Argentino de Polo, for the pit stop. And the team in first, which was Justin and Diana, the green team. But unfortunately, Alex and Adam, the cousins, who are, well, unfortunately, I believe the shorter members of the group, were eliminated, as it was called, and it came in last place. The team that was not and pretty close to it was Ernest and Jin, the dancers. So next week, they're going to stay in Argentina, but we shall see where they go from there. So
yes, we shall. And Justin and Diana, the green team, they're engaged. For completing the leg first, they're getting a heck of a honeymoon, a trip to El Jadeed, Morocco. Because, you know, we always have to, you know, acknowledge the winners.
Yes, exactly. But I will just say, I enjoyed the obstacles. I think everything again, both in Survivor and Amazing Race, is very well. They're really hitting grooves on both shows right now.
Okay, another show that's hitting its groove, it seems, is The Price is Right, and it's just entered its 44th season. We talked about this last week. The awesomeness continues, ladies and gentlemen, because this Thursday was National Breast Cancer Awareness Month special, and we should notice that all four of us have our pink on, right?
Sort of. Sort of.
Jason has a pink hanky.
Mm-hmm.
He blows his.
The model's tatas.
But actually, this is breast cancer. And by the way, Price is Right has been doing this for years. They really are really supportive of the breast cancer charities, specifically Ford. The last couple of years, they didn't have any Ford this year, but we had something.
They had a Ford Focus, but they didn't give it away.
Okay.
But they did have something interesting happen.
Yes. If I may, because I'm going to pull this up,
I already have it pulled up, but go ahead.
Well, no, if you got it, go for it.
Okay. The game is Pay the Rent. And we have 6 prizes. And you have to order those prizes in such a way that the bottom is less than the middle, is less than the top, is less than the attic. You know how this game works. If you watch the show, you know how it works. So, we have Sheba cat food for 79 cents in the mailbox. On the first floor, we have Treetop applesauce and Skinny Cow caramel candies for $7.98 total. Post Raisin Bran cereal and Mr. Clean for $9.48 total. And Crest Spin Brush toothbrush, $9.99. So
that's called a win, folks.
That is a win all day, and Nicole Butler gets $100,000. But she is not done. She's facing off against Catherine in the showcase round.
Before you get to that, there were 8 winning combinations, at least that I counted.
I was actually just about to.
I mean, they really programmed it for a whip.
They really did, yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, if you got the most expensive item in the attic, you could basically figure out the rest, and well, it's pretty much cut and dried at that point. So, anyway, we have Catherine, who actually won her game. How she won her game, we will never know, because she pretty much lucked her way to a win in Secret X. Gordon, you've watched Price... You're 44 years old. You're 43 years old. You've been around almost as long as The Price is Right. You've seen Secret X played before. What is the one thing you never do?
Besides try to make a tic-tac-toe vertically, which I've actually seen someone try to do once.
Yeah.
You don't put the X in the middle.
Guess what Catherine did?
I saw it. She put it on the middle left and the middle right, and of course, being that it was for a car, you would have to figure that the X would not be in the middle. However, it was. Amazingly enough.
So this is one of those cases.
However, I would like to give some blame to Drew Carey also for allowing her to be that silly.
Okay. Do
so
continue.
If you're the host, you sort of nudge and go, you may not want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. What he did was, again, this was one of the rarer mistakes by Drew lately, because Drew's been on the ball for the most, you know, for the most of the last two seasons. But this was a rare mistake because he just said, you know, you shouldn't have done that sort of deal.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You know what, Paul? I mean, there's one way to look at it, and I'm going to argue against myself. If you're Bob Barker, if you remember in Ten Chances, the secret of Ten Chances is that every prize ends in a zero. Right?
Right.
Bob Barker never says that. He hints that there's a secret to winning the game, but he never says what exactly the secret is. You could have at least had Drew Carey say, if he didn't want to spell it out, there's a secret on how to play this game. Or something to that effect.
Yeah, it's like, you know, one of the classic things that Bob likes to say is, she doesn't know! Don't tell her! She doesn't know! She doesn't know the secret! You don't really see Drew Carey do that, although, you know, in your heart of hearts, you almost wish that he did.
You know what I mean? I think that's, and again, you don't know who to blame on that. You know, you could blame Bob, you could blame Drew, you could blame... I mean, obviously you blame the contestant for being a ninno, but you know, it's a weird little sticky wicket to try to get involved with, because technically it's not Drew's job. Should he have done it? Yeah. Are people going to rake over the coals? I don't know.
They probably already have, but anyway.
Yes. Or should they should be raked over.
But again, we had a perfecto last week, which was really a great, where everybody just went, and you know what? It was one of those things that you're like, holy cow, it was really great. It was really a well, you know, the contestants were really good. And then you had a couple of, you know, guys, you know, a guy
Go
who
ahead.
Did, what's his name? Leo, I forget his name was? That guy? The guy who bid like $449 when the guy bid $450 or something like that.
Anyway. Yeah. Who does that? Okay, so next week is Big Money Week, you said, Jason, and Million Dollar Plinko is coming back, much to Jim's chagrin.
We shall see where the money goes. I mean, put it to you this way, my favorite week is Dream Car Week, actually, when you see the Porsches and the Ferraris and the Land Rovers and all those wonderful, beautiful cars that there. We'll see. But that'll be back. It'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But Big Money Week's fun too.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it too.
Jason's a gearhead, you see.
Yep.
Anywho, so that is we're preparing for the biggest prizes ever. Neil Patrick Harris is preparing us for the best time ever. Maybe. Well,
it's the worst time for the rest of us.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't see much of a problem with it. I mean, they took, if you've ever seen Saturday Night Takeaway with Ant and Dec, it's basically a mishmash of variety and sketches and celebrity sorts of things. Plus, there are a few games, so we're gonna review it as a game show. First of all. Plus, on the pro side, Neil Patrick Harris seems like he was born to be a showman. And that just comes with a lifetime of practice, it seems. Because you remember seeing him on the Broadway stage, he was also on Doogie Howser and the How I Met Your Mother, of course. And if you've ever seen it, he was actually the host of the pilot for CBS of The Cube. So, yeah, so Neil Patrick Harris, very good host. The segments he works with, it's basically a show that it does a lot of things correctly, but together it's just weird.
No, I'm sorry, it doesn't. Here's the problem. It does too many things that are corporate synergy, B, they don't feel real, and C, the game show elements stink. They're terrible, okay? The Get Lucky segment, okay, they tell all the prizes, but, you know, it feels rushed. It does not feel...
Well, it's live television, you see.
Yeah, but it still feels rushed to me. That's all.
Well, unfortunately, I think the show commits a couple of more worse violations than what even you're bringing up. And then the biggest problem here is that the basics are wrong. Your fundamental basics of a game show is wrong. And one thing that Jay is absolutely right about is it gets everything wrong. Nothing feels good. Everything feels rushed. And the bigger issue is this. This isn't even a game show. This is a one-hour vehicle for Neil Patrick Harris to be Neil Patrick Harris. He has made himself the star. He is not a conduit at all. He made himself almost feel like Millionaire's Cedric the Entertainer. And I'm using both of them in the same sentence for the obvious reason of their... He's not trying to elevate the contestants. He's trying to elevate himself. That is why the show fails, and it fails miserably. And if you look at it with that thought in mind... You'll see, unfortunately, that I'm right.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at it with that in mind now.
It's one of the... Go ahead, Gordon.
No, I was actually going to say, Jay, what do you think about that?
What I think about that, the thing is that I don't mind variety shows. There are good variety shows, except for the fact that look, Neil Patrick Harris is a guy who takes the air out of the room, okay? He takes the air out of the room. It's just he's so big of a personality that everything that he does feels like, hey, hey, look at me, hey, it's about me, da 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 da. And you're absolutely right. And the thing is that when you have game show elements, you back down. That's why Ant and Dec, for all their, you know, for all the stuff that we give them, they know what they're doing. It just feels like Neil Patrick.
They also don't make themselves the star of the show. You know, even though they're horrible wannabes that we got stuck watching over here in the States. You know, they tried. The problem is that they got stuck with the RoboPet leaks. Over here, your problem is that you have Neil Patrick Harris with the screwdriver putting the holes in the boat himself.
Yeah, and the thing
about this is that the variety show idea is a great idea. Neil Patrick Harris is an excellent host. The guests that he brings in are great. None of this together works. It is the execution that is faulty. I agree with Jay. The synergy is very much to blame, and nothing on this feels organic or natural. Everything feels rushed and artificial.
Yeah, so ultimately, it is not the fondue we want. It is a tossed salad of a show. Because
no,
when
it's
it
like...
When it works,
what
it's
it is
like,
to... I was about to say, I'm sorry, Chico. What I'm just saying to you, it's like peanut butter and motor oil. It's just, you know, both of them work for their own things, but when you mix them together, it's not exactly very tasty. For me, this is a C. Sadly, C. Okay?
I will go with the C on that. How about you, Gordon?
A C? You two are being way too kind.
Here it comes. Helmets on, everybody.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about the C is see you later. No, not a chance. This is a D in my book. I mean, and there's nothing here that works. The only reason why I don't fail this thing outright is, again, I think the pieces are there. They're just used incorrectly.
Okay. Well, I have a question for you, Gordon. It's averaging 6 million viewers. Is that enough to bring them back?
I think it will, because you have so much marketing and merchandising on the show that it will probably pay itself. That being said, we're only 4 episodes in. Let's see what happens. If it stabilizes, yeah. If it starts dipping, no.
Okay, and another thing about this show is, A, it's airing after The Voice. It moves to its regular time next week after being in its in its post voice spot for the last 3 or so weeks. Let's see what the
really concerned about.
Yeah. Well, what I'm concerned is, well, speaking of the best time ever, I have a brand new clock.
Okay.
And it is set for 5 minutes 30 seconds, and I've got the volume on high. So we're going to go through all the stuff we missed in 5.5 minutes. So, if you are ready, are you ready, Jason?
Let's do it.
Are you ready, Gordon?
Wee-wee.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the fastest 5.5 minutes in all of game shows. We call it the replay. Start the clock. We're beginning with a bit of a somber note. Kim Zolciak had to withdraw from the competition of Dancing with the Stars due to her mini stroke that she had last week. She was on bed rest and travel restrictions, so her and Tony Davolani are out. Gary Busey, on the other hand, he was legitimately eliminated.
And we knew that was coming too.
Oh, we knew that was coming. That was a given. Your big player this week on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was Mitchell Oost. This was off to college week, and here was his $250,000 question. When Dolly Parton was born, her father paid the doctor with a bag of what? A. Jelly beans. B. Oatmeal. C. Finishing nails. D. Night crawlers.
I'm just guessing finishing nails. This is a joke.
Gordon?
I'll go with E. Silicon.
Oh! That's horrible. Fun fact, Dolly Parton and I share the same birthday. Mitchell also thought it was C. It was actually B, a bag of oatmeal.
Oh, wow. Oh, well.
Well, he has $50,000 to play with in college. Meanwhile, on Family Feud, the Nelson family could win the game if they made a steal on the last question. They did, and they win the game. Now it's up to Fast Money. Remember, these are two new families because we sent the last family out here with a car. It was the Ford Edge this season. Joelle did well with a couple of her answers to Fast Money, but ultimately they returned Monday with $965. And so far, they're up to $21,000 and change. Moving on. Henry family have a sudden death question to deal with. And here it is. The boss in the family is the one who controls the what?
Of course. Anybody? It's money.
It is money. 85 people said it. Henry's go on to play Fast Money, but they only get 860 money. Okay. On Project Runway, ready-to-wear looks had to be reproduced so they could be sold online at justfab.com. But only the winners would be sold there. So the top three were Ashley, Candace, and Edmund. Winner, Edmund. Loser, Lori. Raynon became the first returning champion of Sports Jeopardy in this category, National League Playoff Games, which is tomorrow. In 2014, Travis Ishikawa hit the first playoff walk-off home run to send the National League team right to the series since this man did it more than 60 years earlier. Jim, you can come on in. What is this?
Who is Bobby Thompson?
That is correct.
The Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant.
Giants win the pennant. That's right. Yes, that's right.
All October on Beat Bobby Flay is Redemption. Blythe and Angelo compete in a clam battle. Angelo wins with Steven's cherry stone clam with smoked chorizo cream. But he cannot beat Bobby Flay, so we're still looking for that. Ainsley, Dave, and Doug and Derek win, but they can't convert the Super Chains to chain the action. Midnight celebrates its 300th episode with a Tag Team Tuesday as opposed to a Tag Team Thursday. Marcin beats Tom by unanimous decision on The Ultimate Fighter. The gameplay returns to TV. Moving on. Chopped had sitcom moms to Gina Arnold from Everybody Hates Chris, Betsy Randall from Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World, Jo Marie Payton from Family Matters, and Jacquet Harry from Sister Sister. They have to make a dessert with tiramisu, bananas, strawberry sauce, and almonds. Winner, Betsy Randall with her ice cream sundae.
I have one for you. On Wheel of Fortune, Kenny Lander becomes the first person this season to try for the million. Wins 33,000 by getting the faithful dog, but he was only six letters away from one A to another, becoming the first male millionaire. On Let's Make a Deal. We've given away, on week two, we gave away $195,964 in cash and prizes. And we are on that particular show. So, anything else?
Clarence Sean beat Torian and Trey 5-2 in the final twin off to win $222,222.22 of the season finale of twinning. The trade off episode on Top Model. Monopoly Millionaires Club, Robert ends up with 19,000. Ink Master was seen with nails. Cruiseman wins that challenge. Chris Blinston wins the game, but Duffy is gone thanks to the human chemistry, and that's the replay.
Wow, not bad. That's pretty good.
Well, we couldn't make the 5.5, we still had a couple of shows left. We will try better next time, but right now, let's just go to the news. Gordon, are the animals properly fed?
Actually, they're sort of in mourning right now. They're sort of all watching the Yankee game.
Oh, that's horrible.
The Yankees right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time is 11:10, and I've stopped caring about the postseason. Although I will be doing a touch of ball later on this month. Slight plug through you, Jim. Okay, let's just get this over with, Gordon.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can listen to Doug Morris on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 104.5 on your FM dial. Okay, so we're going to start off with a green light, and I need a 500 bats, please.
I couldn't get you 500 bats. Are you kidding?
Have you tried? All I ask is to try.
I've got three of them for you, and if you get them all wrong, you're gone.
Okay, very good. Dig butt quest.
The Yankees are going to be in around an hour. The Yankees won't be using any. You got plenty of those to use.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So what do you got? What do you got?
All right, ABC has greenlit another season of 500 questions.
And before you even continue, Chico, yes. Gordon, you called that one, didn't you?
I did indeed. You know, again, it wasn't a budget killer. The ratings were okay, and they certainly could have fixed a lot of stuff on it. It wasn't a complete disaster.
Well, it wasn't a complete disaster, but I'm not exactly jumping out of my seat for this.
Neither am I. But I'm gonna try again, of course.
I gotta get on this show.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And meanwhile, CBS has also greenlit a show. It's called Hunted, and it was actually an adaptation of a UK show that premiered recently to big numbers. And what that show is basically The Amazing Race meets Big Brother meets Hide and Seek, where you are on the run, and you are being hunted down by forensics experts.
Excuse me, I remember when it was called Take the Money and Run.
Yeah! I'll do even better. Remember when ABC greenlit a special, similar project called The Hunter? Or The Runner? And that didn't go anywhere? It was basically mired in... This was around the time of 9/11, and it was basically mired in development hell.
Yeah, and I believe that was a Ben Affleck show, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a Ben Affleck show. And that went nowhere. So that leaves me... Well, you know what they say. Part of me's like, yeah, what happens twice will happen three times. But another part of me's like, you know, third time lucky, I guess.
Or third time unlucky.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I've got the date book here. And October 8th is a big day for game shows that take place outside.
Okay, then.
Okay. I have it here.
Got it right here. Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Beyond the Tank premieres October 6th, which is tonight as we record this, which is the behind the scenes of Shark Tank. Billy Eichner on the Street appears October 8th. Broke Ass Game Show, October 8th, and October 8th. Those are this week.
Yep.
And for your Touch 'Em All fans right now, the New York Yankees season is over because Houston went on the road and blanked the Yankees 3-0 on a 3-hit shutout by Keuchel and gang. Wow.
Ball game over. Playoffs over. Yankees lose. The Yankees lose.
I'm about to pop you, Jim.
Back to the booth.
We'll talk about that and more on Touch 'Em All.
Okay.
Yeah. How did Philadelphia do this year?
You also put up 8-1. Continue.
Okay. All right. Yesterday, the Splat launched. You know, you guys know what the Splat is, right? I'm watching it right now. It's basically Adult Swim for fans of classic Nickelodeon.
Yes, pretty much.
And later on this week, we're going to see both Double Dare and Legends of the Hidden Temple and figure it out. Oh, God. That's
right. So is you and Gordon, I just have to go off heads for a sec. I'll be right back. But just keep going and talk about and get loaded for me.
Yeah, after that game, I'm going to need to get loaded, won't I? Okay, so there's this app called QuizUp. And it's a fairly straightforward trivia quiz. You're in battles with your friends on Facebook. NBC and ITV have loaded up on TV versions of QuizUp. The ITV orders for a pilot only, but NBC has ordered 10 episodes. So that'll be interesting to watch. I gotta get on that show, man.
Yeah, everybody's gotta get on that show, man.
I'll take a show, any show.
I don't know if that's a smart idea or not. It's certainly not a stupid idea, but...
Yeah, it's not a stupid idea.
I've jumped into Jason Cena in the interim until he gets back. It's too... Basing a show off an app, and remember, we still have yet to hear about the Ellen Heads Up game show, if that's actually going to see the light of day, considering what happens with HLN.
Oh, that'll be on HLN in 2016, Lonnie.
And it'll probably do every bit as good as Keywords did, sadly. It's a nice idea, but, you know, you can't really jump at the chance with the apps too quickly, so... What? Yeah, because QuizUp isn't popular anymore. It was here and it's gone, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, kind of,
sort of. On to the next.
Basically. Okay, but again... You know, apps are the new home games, or the new board games. Basing a show on an app is not a bad idea. It's a smart idea. Here's a dumb idea. Got a dumb idea?
Smarter than Simon Cowell.
Mm. Yes, next question. No.
Well, can you do it over again? I have to record this. Found out that he was going to be mentoring the over 25s. So he decided to curse them all out and send them all home.
Yeah, what? I'm sorry? Could you repeat that? I think I got some crazy in my ear.
Simon Cowell decided that he wanted to curse out all of the people that he's supposed to be mentoring.
And this was on the X Factor UK, which airs stateside on Access.
This was, which geared Sharon Osbourne to say she thinks the show should be canceled now.
From, if with mentors like that, You'll go far, people.
Yeah. Simon overdid the haterade, didn't he?
Well, sort of, but, you know, I think I see a game plane sighting, and the plane is currently being occupied by zombies.
Brains.
If a game plane flies on Discovery Family but nobody sees it, did it really go up in the air?
With 22,000 people? I don't think so.
26,000.
The official rating for game plane was 0.00.
Almost as good as the McEnroe talk show on CNBC. Just saying.
Almost, but not quite.
Let's just put it to you this way. What is the population of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Jim?
About 3 to 4 million.
Okay, so that would mean that...
Uh-oh, you're getting Dewey Decimal on me here.
Yeah, 2,975,000 people in Philadelphia did not watch the game plane.
And I know for a fact my dear friend Dawn and her lovely son Christopher did not watch. Hey, Dawn. Hey, little Christopher. I'm going back to the booth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi from us, too. But it did air tonight, so we'll see if it actually perked up a bit. Hey, who knows? Maybe there's a chance it'll break 30,000. And maybe monkeys insane. Will fly out of my butt. Anyway.
I think the gameplay needs to go fly somewhere else.
Yeah, let's fly
to... sending it to, Chico?
Let's fly it to China, shall we? Where we have the return of... Oh, Jason, you're going to love this. The Million Second Quiz.
Blair.
Yeah. So I knew you'd love. I knew you would appreciate that news. We also have a bunch of other deals being done on a bunch of other shows on a bunch of other countries, but we'll get to them in the second half of this show. But right now, let's get to some media hoes, Gordon.
I would love to give you some media hoes.
I know you would.
So, anyways, for some media hoes that are really stupid, we have the Top Chef producers now indicting their own Teamsters from Top Chef Boston. Remember that? I actually remember Top Chef. Anyway. So, Billy on the Street. Why? Is going to be previewing Friday on True TV. In addition to that, we have pictures from Jeff Hopes from junior high school.
Yeah,
it's always fun. It's as
goofy as you think it is.
No, probably not. Huh. Alexis takes the Can Award for their shows. Which there were a lot of, which most of them that we've already talked about. So you have that. And you have Game Show Network once again growing. Thank you again to Amy and Professor Davis. Again, so they're getting up there.
Hey, you need to renew the chase. I'm just saying.
I'm sorry?
It's like, you need to renew the chase. I'm just saying.
Well, we shall see. And Almost Impossible Game Show. Have you ever heard of Almost Impossible Game Show?
No, I have not.
Well, you mean not because it almost got impossibly bad ratings.
Ooh.
Not very good, as we say. No.
Oh, and I have another media ho sighting. Dinner Impossible and Restaurant Impossible chef Robert Irvine and Mr. Gail Kim actually got involved in a TNA pay-per-view on Sunday.
I bet. Yeah. But Robert Irvine, you know, he's got like 100 pounds of muscle on Gail Kim, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, but I'm saying that he tried to help his honey in a match. Just saying.
Gotcha.
But none of those are your hosts of the week.
Who have you?
Who do you got?
Your hosts are Jim Perry, Jack Norris, Alex Trebek, Bob Eubanks, Tom Kennedy, or Monty Hall.
Oh. Do tell, sir.
those are your six hosts that you can select from on Buzzer's new Pick and Play. You pick them, we play them, and that will be potentially coming up on Sundays.
That'll be interesting to watch.
And it actually coincides with the sweepstakes where you can either win a trip to see, I think it's either Steve Harvey and play in Family Feud or a taping of Let's Make a Deal, I think. I believe
that is
the...
Right,
and the and I'm getting a note from the booth here.
The sweepstakes
and this Sunday and it airs next Sunday.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And also game playing is better than Jim. Oh, for the love of Gordon Kemp.
I would rather watch six episodes of the game playing than a Phillies game, by the way.
Gordon, get me out of this.
Bad nose are your hoes.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, shut it down.
I am shutting it down. Definitely shutting it down. What do we got next?
Next up, we are going to the theater, and if Jim is good, then we may let him out of the booth. Big if, though. Big if. Jason Block, Gord Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. This is WLTI on CLW83. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll be giving 22 Yankees the address of Jim Williams' house.
Okay, I got the... Okay.
Phone number.
Oh! That's just terrible. Brain Vision has been presented by The Middle Row. A home sewing machine, $119. A garment steamer, $60. A Kia Rio, $16,115. Lucking your way into said Kia Rio, priceless.
There are the Middle Row, very
there
good.
There are some things in life that money can't buy. For everything else, there's the Middle Row. Accepted. Everywhere you see a secret X.
God, yes.
Somebody should have pointed that out to her, I'm just saying! Okay, welcome back. This is the We Love Twitter Opt program, or as we call it, the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast. Jason Block's on the panel, Gordon Pepper, ably beside me as always, and because Jim's been a very good boy, comparatively, we've let him out of the booth.
Comparably to Gordon, that's nothing, yeah.
Oh, God! Well, we let you out of the booth because you're an actor, right? Jim,
acting!
You are an actor. And, Gordon, you're an actor as well.
I'm gonna acting like I'm gonna stuff Jim into a padded cell in a moment.
You're gonna need a bigger cell.
And Jason can...
Oh, you got that right.
And Jason can fake it for a minute. So we're going to play a round of I'm sorry.
I can fake it for as long as you want, kiddo.
That's what he said.
Tell me you got that on tape. Tell me you got that on tape.
I hope he's got that
on
tape.
I got it on tape as long as you got it on the quote wall, brother.
That's it.
Okay, anyway, we're going to play a round of WLTI Theater, which basically involves us acting out hypotheticals for your entertainment. Think of it as a theater of the mind sort of deal, except you'll be hearing us instead of reading our words. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Gordon and I, we have some setups here, and we'll call out one panelist, or maybe two panelists, to act on those setups. And they will last for 1 minute or until they reach their natural conclusion.
And you have a timer to this effect.
I do have a timer to that effect. Do not mess with the man with the timer, sir.
You got it.
Okay.
So who's first on stage?
I want the lovers' quarrel, Jim and Gordon.
Oh God, here we go.
You want to hug it out, bro?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right. They're really good friends, can't you tell?
We are, actually, yes.
They kid because they love. Okay, the scene is, Jim, you are Mark Burnett, and Gordon, you are Mike Darnell, the chinchilla, And you're talking about, and you are monitoring how 500 Questions not only got renewed by ABC, but is being sold all over the world. Okay, just a reminder, 1 minute or until the scene reaches its natural conclusion. I've got the alarm on. Ready, set, action!
Mark, I got the perfect idea for season two.
All right, let me hear it.
We have to make for season two, Mark. Mark, okay. Listen to me. You're going to love this. You're going to love this. Tell me. You're going to meet with my agent, Lenny, and you're going to love these changes.
Okay. All right. What do you got for me?
All right. Number one, puppies.
Puppies?
Everybody loves puppies.
Okay.
We're going to make sure after every 10th question, if they get to 10 points, they get a puppy. We'll put a puppy right on that stage. And then they will have it, and then they'll just put it right on their podium because they look puppy.
What the hell? Are you Jimmy Fallon now? What the heck? Okay, all right, whatever. What else you got?
Okay, number two, babies. Everybody loves babies.
Oh, for
so instead of two guys going against each other, we're going to have a bet on your baby segment.
No, that's not going to happen because they're going to take a dump on each other, and Richard does not like dumps. Richard does not like dumps.
I thought Richard does not like scary clowns.
What else you got?
All right, so that's number two.
Nope. Cut.
Wow.
Minute goes by fast, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but I will. But I will say this honestly. Look, I have actually crapped on this show a lot worse than a lot of the things have. But I will say this. Gordon, again, you were right. This was a cheap show. I'm surprised it got the renewal, but let's say what they do. If they keep it the same way, I don't know, but they've got to fix it for season two. All
Absolutely.
Joking aside.
Absolutely. They do have to fix it. Gordon, next scene.
Let's continue on the stream of Mark Burnett, but since I know Jason loves to play the women roles.
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
Okay, go ahead.
Jason, you are Ave Maria.
Oh, God.
Chico, you're Sharin.
Oh, of course.
And I want you two to start making your arguments on why you should stay on the island, even though we all know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And entertain me.
Look at me. I am the most beautiful woman on the island. I have the most talent. I have the most assets.
Tits is basically what you have. And you're not really a beautiful person. You like to skate around everybody and you just, get on everybody's nerves. And you're not that strong a competitor. If anything, you're just a bully. And I don't know why you're even here. I, on the other hand, am the gamer of the group. I've been playing this game since you were busy loving up on your man of the hour or something.
Man of the hour? Look at you. You always talk about the bullies and be, I'm a woman. I'm a victim. Look at me. I am beautiful. Look at me.
Tell me what that matters. Tell Jeff what that matters.
Tell Jeff why that matters? Why? All I have to do is sun myself and get fed rice, and I'm good. I'll just keep going.
Jason Block will play Carmen Miranda coming soon off Broadway.
She does have an accent, doesn't she?
Yeah, she has a very thick Brazilian accent.
I was waiting for the Chiquita Banana to come along and bitch slap you, Jay.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I come to say yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Chicky boom, chick, chicky boom.
But yeah, is there a valid point to Shireen saying Abby Maria is a bully?
No,
because here's the deal. And again, pardon this. Shireen played the victim card last time, if you remember correctly.
Yeah.
She played it again, And honestly speaking, we are getting a lot of the ambulance on Survivor a couple of times, you know, over the last, say, 2 to 3 years, 4 to 6 seasons of, oh, you're a bully. Oh, you're mean to me. If you can't take real words and you can't take real criticism, don't go on the damn show.
You can't take real life, basically. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Next scene, Jason, you are a disgruntled fan. Jim?
Of?
A Family Feud.
Of? Okay.
Okay, Jim, you are, you're going to love this, Steve Harvey.
My man, yeah! Oh, you set this up beautifully.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay, the scene is, you're defending the show against your fan who says it's gone off the rails and it's become too TV-14, basically. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't typecast this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
I got my suit with 15 buttons on. Here we go.
At ready, set, action!
Mr. Harvey, I'm surprised at you. You are a family man. You have done a family show on many years. You've done...
Whoa. Before you even that, the name of the show is Family Feud. It doesn't mean that it has to be a family show. We have families on the show, you see.
Yes, but the thing is that all the questions about, you know, naughty stuff.
Naughty stuff. You talk about naughty stuff. You watch Jerry Springer. I know you watch Maury. You watch all them shows, and you know we are cleaner than that. Nobody's dying. No baby daddy drama.
No, there are no baby daddy. No one's died.
That's
no one's abused it.
That's right.
However, you have a lot of innuendo, and you have a lot of stuff that sometimes...
Did you watch Match Game back in the day? It was all daytime.
But not every question.
Okay. That was very good.
That was really good.
You guys played that up beautifully, I must say.
Because it's kind of real life, me and Jason going back and forth, yes.
but do fans have a point? I mean, has it become a little too risque?
Okay. I've always said that there is a point for pushing the envelope, but when you emphasize the pushing of the envelope in the viral clips, and I know Gordon is going to say that that's what you're supposed to do to get ratings.
In 2015, it is. Yes.
So, you know,
it's what you're supposed to do to get ratings. However, you're not supposed to alienate your audience while doing so.
But they're not alienating their audience. If anything, they're gaining a bigger audience.
Have you seen the latest syndication ratings that have come out?
Well, everybody's gone down, thanks to Thursday Night Football.
No. Family Feud is no longer first, it is third.
No, it's actually second.
Yeah, second. This week, if anything, I'd be more worried about Jeopardy, quite frankly, a little.
It's a bottleneck for the top three, basically.
The top three.
The top three will always be the top three, and they will be within a point. There's no top two anymore. There is a top three, and that's Wheel, Feud, and Jeopardy. The sad part about it is that the real sad about it is that, again, with all the bad clearances, Millionaire's done. They are done. Goodbye.
And Name Game might not be far behind.
What?
True.
But of course, just on the daytime side, Deal and Price are still doing well, ratings wise, I believe. So,
I think
so. But the question is going.
Getting his best ratings ever. So yes, that would be accurate.
Yeah, but the. No. Just one quick question on this though. Do you think this will hurt Feud in the long run, or do you think this is just a slow news week sort of thing?
I think it's a slow news week sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, because the show always has had those kind of questions. Yes, they've been ramped up a lot more to at least one every show now. But it's getting ratings, and for the foreseeable future, people dig it because of the host and the chemistry. It's not just because, ooh, tawdry stuff. The host brings out the most in the format.
I'm staying away from column B. I think right now it's harmless. However, if they don't start making some wholesale changes on some of the stuff and maybe cool a little bit, this could be the start of a trend, albeit not a trend you want, but it could be the start of one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's our next scene, Gordon? Oh, sorry, Jason, one more thing.
Yeah, just one more quick thing. Again, I'm not saying that you can't be TV-14, just not be that way all the time. That's all.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay, next scene, Gordon.
Next scene, we have Chico Alexander as Dan Patrick. And
Welcome to the big show.
And I've got Jason Block as Alex Trebek. And you guys are talking about... Actually, I'm going to have Jim Williams as the Jeopardy Wunderkind right now, Matt Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting all three of you in the same room. And 3, 2, 1, action.
Alex, how do you deal with this sort of person?
I deal with this guy because he's fast. I have to up. I really, really, really have to up my game.
What is? Yes, you are correct.
Not everything is in the full.
He's still in character.
Yes, I mean it's just. But I just have to say one thing, Matt. You know, you've got to enjoy yourself a little bit more. I mean, I understand you're under a lot of pressure. I understand you're dominating, like, you know.
Would you rather I give you the Arthur Chug stare and glare of death? Would you like that? Would you prefer that?
No, absolutely not. I mean,
help
you know.
Me help you. I can do this. We can do a show together. We could do this. I could be the next Ken Jennings, for all you know.
Sure, let me tell you.
I think you need a hug.
We all need a hug. We all need a hug.
Let's hug it out.
Okay. Whoa! What? Look, do yourself a favor. Keep the hands above the waist. Above the waist.
Yeah, Pat.
Okay. I think we've heard enough there.
Dan goes down low. Well, he thinks he's with Chrissy Teigen or something. I think.
You had me until Jay was trying to achieve the Daily Double in Jim Williams' pants.
No, I was not having the Daily Double in Jim Williams' pants.
He was going to the Super Jeopardy board for some reason.
No. All joking aside, so what's the question? What's the question, Chico?
Actually, that's Gordon's scene. So Gordon is there.
Gordon, what is your question?
I'm sorry.
The follow up question. Do you have a follow-up question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, a follow-up question. Is David Madden's record in danger of being broken by Matt Jackson?
It would actually be Julia Collins' record, and yes.
No, I can keep Julia Collins' record without a problem.
Oh.
So my question is not Julia Collins. My question is David Madden.
Oh.
What, 24?
I think
Madden went 19.
I think David Madden's record may be in a bit of jeopardy.
I see what you did there. I'm going to say no. And the reason I'm going to say no is the way Sony has done things the last couple of years, Jason, you know this from Uncle Harry.
Mm-hmm.
They would leak this out in the press a week or so in advance. Have you seen any pressers? Because I subscribe. Don't ask how I know these things.
I have not seen any pressers.
No, I haven't seen any pressers either, but even so, they didn't start getting pressers until like 15, I would think, no?
Well, for Julia and for Arthur, just to give a little backstory, they were starting right around 10. So, I'll put it as qualified maybe.
So, if there is to be a presser, it will be soon, not necessarily now.
Right,
but I will say this, though. The way Matt Jackson's playing right now, whoo, boy, you know, he's good.
Doggy.
Whoa, Nelly.
Someone call a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Dare okay. I say, in fuego.
Okay. All right, Jason, you're a big fan of the female rules, so I'm going to give you one.
Oh, God. Here we go again.
Yeah. You are Gabrielle Reese, host of the new series Strong, which is sort of a Biggest Loser redux. And Gordon, you're going to be Bob Harper, the new host of The Biggest Loser. Compare and contrast your...
Well, first of all, I need to look it up before I...
What's his motivation, you see?
What's his motivation? I'll give... You know, give me a moment. I'll give you my motivation.
Hey, now.
What's her name? Gabrielle Reese? I thought
Gabrielle Reese, yes.
Yes.
Just, oh, I would say NBC's...
NBC's Strong, which is basically matches 10 everyday women with the world's most elite fitness trainers to conquer tough obstacles, both mentally and physically.
I've got the article. I've got it. Got it.
Okay,
got it.
Good. You got it.
Okay.
You got this. All right, Gordon. You got this.
I got it.
Okay. 1 minute, or until the scene reaches its natural conclusion. Action.
Well, Bob, your friend Dave and Mr. Stallone has got me in a pretty good, very good spot. You know, I'm liking this.
I think it's okay, but I did have a friend of mine that I was working with a whole bunch of seasons at the Biggest Loser, and right now you really can't hold their jock.
You mean the one that quit and didn't quit and then quit and then didn't quit and then quit and then quit again? You mean Jillian, her? Trust me, I can do better than that and actually motivate in a more positive way. At least I don't have potential lawsuits against my company, against the threats of abusing our clients and things like that. We're going to actually treat them hopefully in a better way, you see.
Oh, you mean a better way in terms of what, financial compensation, or a better way in terms of you can do a better job getting them drugs, or?
No. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Or a better way of getting apparently intellectual stimulation.
Wow.
Oh my. I think we've heard enough there. But question here is there. Now, both shows will be on the air in 2016. Do you see either of them succeeding, especially in the wake of what happened last season on The Biggest Loser?
No, and I'll tell you why. Here's the problem. Now, Gordon, you know this. There's been enough smoke around The Biggest Loser over the last few years,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Especially if you remember the winner that looked almost emaciated. I forget her name. You remember that one, right?
I remember that
one. Okay. So what I'm saying is that, I really feel bad for both of them because the physical – there needs to be a good physical fitness show on here. I don't think these are going to be it, you know?
No, I think The Biggest Loser is very close to getting the American Idol Farewell Tour treatment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, really?
This is going to be a great show. I just don't think right now it's in the right hands. And I think there's way too much tarnish on this show.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And, I know people who were considering doing it, and then they learned about what goes on off camera. And they'll take being chubby over being put in a physical condition that can make you, well, literally die trying to lose weight. Biggest Loser, I've said this before, anybody who has to watch it, be ashamed of yourself, simply put, because it's not the right way to do it. It just isn't. It just isn't. Crash courses never, ever, 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 ever work long term.
Right.
And Gordon, how many times have we seen Biggest Loser winners actually gain the weight back? And it's sad. We've seen this.
Well, but expect it.
Yeah.
All right, Gordon, you've got the final act.
This one's going to be an all play.
Ooh, kinky.
All in challenge, people.
All right.
Got it.
I am a producer for Russia's Got Talent.
Oh, boy.
Each of you will take an American Got Talent finalist, and you will say why you should be on Russia's Got Talent. However, I want at least one person to be Skip the Magic Dragon, and I want somebody to be the Human Regurgitator.
I'll be the Regurgitator, because I know him well.
I'll be Piff the Magic Dragon, because I'm self-deprecating.
And the thing is, it has to be a finalist.
You know what, Jay? I'll let you be creative. You be you.
No. I know. Excuse me.
You know what? I've got this. Jason, you be the Regurgitator. I've got the perfect third.
Okay. You know what?
No. Jim, trust me. I've got the perfect third. Okay.
All right. I'll be the Regurgitator. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to come in third. Trust me.
I'm going to bump up the time to 2 minutes since it's an all play. All right.
All right.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, action.
Hello. My name is Piff the Magic Dragon, and this is my friend Puddles. If you look at it, what would you say he was?
What I'm saying he was right now is not enough entertainment. Guys, we need something for Russia's Got Talent. This is your big break here.
I am here. It's Stevie Star, and I've got a crusher for you. I got a crusher of a good time. I have got this VW Beetle, the very same VW that's being called off the market, and I'm going to regurgitate it. Here we go.
Try and make the VW disappear now. And it's disappeared. Right into Stevie Star's gullet. Does anybody know the Heimlich?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Leonid the Magnificent. I look at me in my large silver cape and my 7-foot-tall high heels. I am prancing around on the stage. I will be perfect to come home to the country Mother Russia, and I will show everyone how beautiful everyone is. I do not care what Vladimir Putin thinks of me, but I will make sure that everyone feels the love of Leonid the Magnificent.
And for my next act, I will regurgitate your favorite enemy, Barack Obama. Here you go.
give me 30 seconds and I'll make this monstrosity disappear.
Don't call us. We'll call you. I will get back to you. My receptionist will I'll let you out the door. Meanwhile, Natalie, can you do me a favor? Can you get me Boy Britney's phone number?
Okay. I think that's good enough.
See, Jason, you almost had it. See, the correct answer was Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh,
no. Here's the thing: if you've ever watched or if you ever follow WLTI for any breadth of time, you know that we always relate Jason back to Leonid the Magnificent.
Yes.
So this was sort of a running inside joke, and combining it with the fact that he is, I believe, a Brooklyn-born Russian, I think, or a Russian that immigrated to
Brooklyn-born Russian. What a country!
Yes.
But I'm just at this particular point. You know,
Russia's Got Talent.
You know, but is there such a Russia? Is there really such a thing as Russia's Got Talent?
I believe there is. I'm glad.
But really, in Russia, it's Talent's Got Russia.
Oh, I see what you.
What a country!
Yeah, what a country!
Machka.
Much vodka. Yep, there it is. Russia's Got Talent. Or as it's known, Minuta Slavi. It's a Russian talent show, and it airs on One TV, hosted by Alexander Oleshko and Vila Hapaslo.
God bless you.
Actually, now it's hosted by Julia Kovalchuk. Wonder if it's any relation to any hockey players.
Julia Kovalchuk, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. But anywho, that is WLTI Theater, ladies and gentlemen.
Taking a bow, thank you.
Well, Jason, in your case, it's a curtsy. Get it right.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
One more time for the Not Ready for NPR players, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And all we have to do now is a speed round, and that's coming up right after this word from...
Jackson in Jeopardy. It's Chopped. It's Jeopardy. It's trivia. It's Matt Jackson. He's a player. He's a stager. But more importantly, he's a ham and egger. And when I say ham and egger, I'm saying I want the best chef to give us the best ham and egg dish featuring Matt Jackson. I only got 20 minutes to do it. Good luck.
Bobby the Brain Heenan approves. Yes.
No pressure indeed. Mm-hmm. Okay. As we said at the top of the show, or near the top of the show, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we've all got our pink on, and we just want to invite everybody out there to get yourselves, to take a moment and get yourselves checked.
40 or over females especially, you should get checked like every year or every 2 years. It's very important to do
that. And of course, guys too. Don't get me wrong. You know, guys too. Guys get breast cancer. I have heard of this. You should just, you know, do a self-exam in the shower. And believe it or not, I'm not telling tales out of school. I do it occasionally just to check. Yep. Just to make sure that there everything is okay up there. And
nothing's out of whack. Exactly.
Because as we like to say on this show, Jason's old.
Mm-hmm.
And bald.
Hey.
Not one.
Hey, watch it there, buddy.
Well, no, I didn't mean... Well, moving on!
Moving on to the speed round, starting now! Matt Jackson is on fire! How long does he last?
I'm going to say he gets to October. He's going to go to November.
He's going to go to November, Jake.
You know what, put it to you this way, I would say at least this week and possibly next. He's good. He's really good.
I'm gonna say this week and possibly next. Okay, Survivor, we've seen Shireen go bye-bye. Does the twist in the game change who's going next?
I think it will. I think Stephen Fishbach will not make it to November.
I also think Stephen Fishbot will not make it to November.
Yeah, we'll put it to you this way. It's going to be very interesting what the split happens and where it goes from there. The split is the key. I can't really, honestly, I'm not trying to push, but I don't know. But Stephen is a candidate, depending on the tribe split.
All right.
Who goes next?
I'm sorry?
It's with the stars.
Who goes next?
Oh, wow, that's interesting, because my pick was Gary Busey, and he's already gone. I defer to Jason.
Well, hold on, I'm just getting the list of who did what, so just give me...
If there's a heaven above... Bye, y'all!
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. I'm meaning to forget about her. Yeah, Paula Deen's going
by. Hi,
Yeah, Paula Deen should go. I mean, really, really, really... I mean, she's 3'6". Yeah, she's the lowest one. So she's.
But I'm cooking with lots of butter and extra butter, y'all.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So.
Yeah, take your butter and bugger off. Why don't you?
All right, Amazing Race. Who's next?
Oh, God. That is going to be a tough one, but I don't see how Ernest and Jen get out of the bottom.
I'm also thinking the cheerleaders, and we're one, but possibly this week or next week could be a non-elimination leg. So
there you go.
There's a possibility of that, yes.
Okay, next week on Price is Big Money Week. Do we see Big Money go out the door? Big Money, Big Money!
Not in Plinko, you don't.
No, but at least in one game you will see a six-figure win of some sort. I know that sounds vague, but I don't know what games there are going to be. Right. So,
keep in mind, of course, that you've always had in the past non-cash games be converted into cash games, for example, Rat Race. So I can see them doing it again, because Rat Race, you got rid of $125,000.
Alrighty. And, well, that's pretty much it. Do we have any mail? Do we have any mail? Okay, I'm checking our Twitter account, and so should you at Game Show News Net on the Twitter. And I really should. While I'm pulling up the Twitter, Jim, we're in pennant chase mode. Talk about that. Why don't you?
Yes. As you may have heard earlier in this podcast recording on Tuesday night, the 6th of October, 2015, the Yankees have been eliminated by the
Boo!
Houston
Astros.
Jason?
They will.
Yeah. Go ahead. 5 second rebuttal.
No, I'm going to be honest. They didn't show up. Gallus Keuchel was awesome.
We all picked the Yankees to win this game. Yeah, we did. I'm egg on all our faces. We also are getting ready for the National League wild card, which is going to be great. Cubs in Pittsburgh. And the division series starts Thursday. We'll talk about that. Don Orsillo's Swan
Song. By the way, it is Toronto, Texas versus Kansas City, Houston. We'll have our predictions there. Right. And on Friday, it's the Dodgers-Mets. Versus St. Louis in the winner of the play-in game. So
absolutely. And Jason Block and J.D. Hernandez have an interesting food bet involving the Dodgers-Mets series that you have to listen all the way to the end for. It's on the latest Extra Bases edition of Touch 'Em All, up on CLW83.com.
Okay, and I do have our Twitter up, and we did get a reply on a tweet we had. Among the rumored offerings for syndication in 2016 are Chain Reaction and a daily version of the Monopoly Millionaires Club. Our good friends at Big Bother, who actually pitched a British version of this show back in the day, basically they said, who wouldn't want to watch an iced tea talk show?
It needs to have a round table with people talking about hot topics for at least two segments. That's talk shows now.
Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of now moving on from baseball to football, the BS Big Show will be recording tomorrow night. We were supposed to record earlier tonight, but things got in the way. We will be talking about week 4 in the NFL, and we'll be talking about the really big story of the week. And Gordon, you nailed this one. Again.
Okay. I did, and we're actually going to be doing a WOTI roundtable right after this show. We're going to be doing a couple of quick segments on that, and a little bit different than what you expect.
Mm-hmm. And
state of play as well you're going to be doing. So, yep. Yes.
So, okay. Before we get onto that segment, does anything have anything they want to say? Anybody want to pump something up? Because I actually do have something that I want to talk about.
Oh, okay. We're actually in the middle of that segment right now, actually.
Yes.
And also, very quickly, I'd also, again, like to plug my sister's play, which is called Be That Guy, A Cat and Two Men. Week 2 starts this Thursday through Sunday at the Ryan Repertory Theater. You can get the tickets, I believe, at Brown Paper Events. I have the link on my page. I will post it again. I'm really proud of that. And, of course, Pixel Nation, which with Brian Henniger. And again, you, Gordon, and you, Jim, we have to do a red state, blue state sometime soon. Absolutely. Of course, you can hear, of course, CLW83, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and, of course, Overcast as mm-hmm. well.
And Gordon? Gordon?
I would just like to say, first of all, our Good Brothers Bowling Club has now won 2 games. So we're now, after 2 matches, we're 68-12. So that's always good. Nice. But the other thing that I want to say about our group is that a bunch of us are going down to South Carolina for a wedding, and we are actually going to be bringing supplies with us down to South Carolina. We're going to be bringing in some water, and we're going to be bringing some clothing, and we're going to try to bring other things that other people need. So help is on the way, and we're only just trying to do our small part.
Good brother in name, good brother indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
And that's all good stuff, and we'll have more good stuff next week. So, there's got to be a show we haven't reviewed yet. I'll think of it, but in the meantime, for Jim and Jason Block, thank you ever so much for participating.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks to Gordon Pepper, my cohort in crime, for being, well, again, good brother in name, good brother indeed. And for everybody at Game Show News Net, for everybody at CLW83, I've been Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Until next time, game over, and spread the love. Good night, everybody.